1189. Is it 1189? Come on, somebody. Just say yes. Just say, you're right, Pastor. I have it written down here. I was right. 1189 chapters, 66 books, 31,102 verses, 788,258 words. That's a lot. But every word, every jot, every tittle is the Word of God. Every period, every exclamation point, every question mark, every, even the italicized words are the Word of God. Everything is. And so when we read this book, and I hope you're reading it every day, get a Bible reading calendar if you haven't got one already, then if you haven't started already, get started now. Don't wait too long. And read your Bible through. Read it at least once, maybe twice, maybe 3, 4, 5, 10 times, whatever you can do. God will bless it. Won't he? We got a whole crowd coming in here. If I knew a joke, I'd tell you a joke, but I don't know any jokes. I can't tell jokes anyway. Just look at me and you laugh. That's what it is. See? Told you that. I'll wait for the crowd to get in here, and then we'll stand and we'll read Revelation 19. I'll give you the title of the message, and I'll give you the outline. The outline today is very, very easy. So if you want to jot these things down, I have preached out of Revelation 19 before, but this is a brand new message the Lord just gave me. Been working on it this past week. The title of the message is very simple. It's Hallelujah. There's four Hallelujahs or Hallelujahs. It's the Greek spelling. The Greek spelling for Hallelujah is found in your King James Bible. It's Hallelujah. That's how the Greek spelling is. We say Hallelujah just because Hallelujah means praise Jehovah. That's what Hallelujah means, or praise the Lord. Some people like to say praise the Lord a lot. Some people like to say amen a lot. Some people like to say glory a lot. All of these are right. I don't think we say praise the Lord enough. We don't say Hallelujah enough. Sometimes we think, hey, you don't say Hallelujah too much there in that Baptist church. They'll think you're Pentecostal. Well, Hallelujah or Hallelujah is a Bible name or a Bible word, I should say. And there's nothing wrong with saying Hallelujah. Somebody say it.
Hallelujah.
There you go. Amen. See, you can do it. Just practice a little bit and you can get the word out. Praise the Lord is another form of Hallelujah. Say that.
Praise the Lord.
There you go. See, you're doing okay today. You can actually say these Bible words and get them out. You don't have to be afraid of anything. Don't be afraid of Hallelujah, praise the Lord, amen, glory to God. Don't be afraid of those things. How about glory to God? Can we say that? Glory to God. Amen. Now, the volume is being turned down a little bit, so don't do that. Keep the volume up. Let's stand. I'm going to read Revelation 19. Not all of it, just some of it. And we're going to look at several things here. The title of the message is Hallelujah. We're going to look at six things. If I can get them in this morning, fine. If not, you know how we work around here. I'll do half this morning, and we'll finish it tonight. That's just the way I work. If you don't like it, I'm sorry. Revelation 19, verses 1 through... Well, when I stop, I'll stop. I'll read, you follow along. I'll read out loud, you just follow along. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah! And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these things are true sayings of God. Father, bless the message. Use it for your honor and for your glory. We thank you, Lord, for this great book that we have. We thank you, Lord, for our King James Bibles. Lord, you have put this Bible in the language of the world, pretty much. English is a common language around this globe. And Lord, you have given us your word. Thank you, Lord, for it. Lord, I pray that you would bless it as it goes forth today. We pray the Holy Spirit would be working mightily upon each and every one of us also. We pray, Lord, for your spiritual will to be done in everybody's life. Lord, you know who's here and who needs to be saved. You know who's here and is backslidden. You know who's here and is just kind of drifted away from you. And so, Lord, you know our hearts and you know our needs. And so I pray that you'd get a hold of us today as we look at this chapter of the last days, the end times. Lord, we are getting closer and closer to that every moment of the day. So, Lord, bless the message. Use it for your honor and for your glory. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Again, is the word. I'm going to use the word hallelujah, but it's alleluia. Again, as the spelling is in our King James Bible, as the Greek spelling is of hallelujah. But if you went to anywhere in this world, listen to me, anywhere in this world, and if you said this word, hallelujah, this is one of the only words that is known in every language around the globe. This word, hallelujah. In every language, people know that word means, and they know what it means. You can go anywhere and say hallelujah, and you'll be able to speak their language, because they'll be speaking your language if they say hallelujah back to you. It's very uncommon to go anywhere, and of course me, I wouldn't understand anything anybody said in another language. I only know English, and I barely know that. but I don't know Spanish, I don't know German, I don't know Japanese or Chinese. We have our missionaries that come in here, and they can speak, you know, multiple languages, and that always impresses me that they can speak not only the English tongue, but they can speak in some other language. I guess if I was ever called to another country, I'd have to learn that language. But I'm thankful that I haven't been called to another language, because I'm still learning English after 67 years. But again, this word means praise Jehovah or praise the Lord. I've got six things written down here I want us to look at. First thing we're going to look at is the title of the message, hallelujah. Now, these points are one word points. They all start with an H. That's just me. I'm a little weird, I know, but that's just to help me understand or remember the message, and maybe it'll help you a little bit too. But the first one here is hallelujah. We see these four hallelujahs mentioned in Revelation chapter 19 in these verses that I just read. The Bible starts right off in verse 1, and it says, "And after these things." Well, you got to know what it said in chapter 18, 17, 16, 15, 14, 13, 12, 10, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. You have to know what came up to this point. This is at the end of the tribulation period. This is the time in which Jesus Christ himself physically comes back out of heaven, comes to this earth, and is getting ready to set up his 1,000-year millennial reign. He's coming back. He's going to be riding on a white horse. And we're going to talk about that white horse. We're going to talk about who's following him on white horses also. We're going to look at that here today also. But we see this hallelujah. And I call this the hallelujah of rejoicing. The hallelujah of rejoicing. Because it says after these things, after the tribulation, after all of the judgments, the vials, the trumpets, what's the other one though? The seals. The trumpets and the vials, the 21 different judgments that are being poured out upon this earth during that tribulation, that 7-year tribulation period. And thank God we believe that we won't be here for that. I'm a pre-tribulational, I'm a pre-rapture. That's what I am. I believe that we're leaving here and we're not going to be able to suffer through the tribulation period. A lot of discussion on that. There's a lot of things going on in different churches today about that. But I still hold to there's a 7-year tribulation period, and I'm leaving before. You want to stay and go through the tribulation period, have at it. I don't want to go through it, and I'm hoping to miss it and avoid it. And that's my belief according to the Bible. But again, it says here, after these things, after the tribulation, after the judgments, I mean, most of the population has been destroyed during the tribulation period. The planet is unrecognizable at this point in time. Everything that people would know is completely changed. The landscape has changed. Buildings are destroyed. Rivers are poisoned and full of blood. And so many things. The sea is not the same. The lakes are not the same. Things are not the same as it was. But after these things, after the tribulation, after that judgment, then it says this, I heard a great voice of what? Much people. I've underlined that in my Bible. Much people. Do you know there's going to be people in heaven that you think may not make it there? And there might not be some people there that you think might be there. But you know what that one, who was it that said that? But the greatest surprise will be that I'm there. But listen, we're going to be there. If you're saved, you're going to be there. You cannot lose your salvation. But here's the other thing. Can Catholics go to heaven? If they're saved, they can. Can a Methodist go to heaven? If they're saved, how about a Presbyterian? If they're saved, anybody can go to heaven if they're saved. That's the key. I think we're going to meet up a lot of people in heaven that we didn't think, that church, that group, that name, that denomination. No, listen, there'll be some people there that have trusted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior that didn't come from your little Baptist world. Amen. Hey, I'm a Baptist and I'll die a Baptist and I'll always be a Baptist. I'll always be a Baptist pastor. Unless I step aside, I'll always be a Baptist preacher. And the name Baptist will always be on this sign as long as I'm alive and kicking. And if the next person comes along and wants to take the name off, they're going to have to fight me first. I may be old and gray and not get able to get up, but I'll be able to kick. I'll kick. I'll be able to spit. I'll spit. That name is staying on that sign. Man, I won't spit. I might kick, but I don't know. Drool, yeah. I'll be drooling, I'm sure. Oh, please. Somebody send me to heaven if I ever get that bad. But it does say much people. Much people. You know, heaven is going to be filled with people that have been saved down through. This is down through that. We're talking down through time. There's 7.8 or 7.9 billion people on the planet right now. I don't know how many of those are Christians, born again, true born again, Bible believing Christians. I have no clue how many. People come up with different numbers and they think this, we don't know. Really, I don't. The only person in this room I know is saved is me. I don't have no clue where you stand with God. You know that and God knows that. If you're not saved, you better get saved. And if you're not right with God, you better get right with God because he's coming back soon. But it says much people, not a small amount. This is not, sometimes we think, well, there's just be a handful of people in heaven. No, there's not going to be just a handful of people in heaven. There are going to be much people there, the Bible says. That tells me there's going to be a lot of people in heaven from all over the world. Those missionaries we support, they're doing a fantastic job, by the way. If you don't support missions, you ought to get on board and support missions. They're trying to win people all over the world. Thank God for the 50-plus missionaries we support in this church. Thank God for our missions program we have in this church. Thank God for the missionaries that we see come through here in our church. The McCurdys will be with us next month in February. They're coming in for their daughter's wedding. She's getting married on 2-2-2-22 at 2:22 in the afternoon up in Rochester. Yes, yes. Their oldest daughter is getting married. They're coming in from Moldova, and he's going to be with us on the 13th. And so I just talked to him yesterday via email. That's how he got a hold of me. But there are people being saved all over the world. There's people still being saved all over America. Our missionaries are winning many people to the Lord. And you're giving out gospel tracts? Amen? You're giving out gospel tracts? How many people will be in heaven because you gave somebody a gospel tract? I think there'll be a lot of people in heaven because you gave out a gospel tract. Don't ever think that those little pieces of paper that you and I pass out, don't you ever think they're not going to do something for God. Because I really believe with all my heart that when we give out a gospel tract, the Holy Spirit gets a hold of those verses in that tract and gets a hold of that heart of that person, and he starts working and moving and working and moving. How many times have people been to maybe a funeral that we have we've done and heard the gospel. Maybe they didn't come up to you right then and there and say, hey, I got saved. You don't know if they got saved or not. I think there's going to be a lot of people in heaven. The Bible says there, much people. Tells me a lot. So get that little thing out of your mind that there'll be a handful of Christians here and there. No, there's much people there. That's what John is writing. He's seeing that. He's hearing the voice. and he's witnessing this whole thing. Much people in heaven saying, hallelujah. So what's our heavenly language going to be? It's going to be hallelujah. Or hallelujah. It's going to be glory to God. It's going to be amen. There's going to be a lot of amens in heaven. You say, I don't like to say amen in church because I just don't want anybody to see me. I don't want anybody to know that I'm even here. Well, you came to church. We all know you're here. Doesn't hurt to throw out a little amen once in a while. Doesn't throw out a little hallelujah. Go ahead, say it. There you go. See, you're getting used to that. He said it now twice, I think. See, you can say hallelujah. And did you feel weird when he said it? Of course not. You didn't feel weird when you said it. You can say it. They're saying it in heaven. That's what we're going to be saying when we get to heaven. I think when we see our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, first word out of our mouth will be hallelujah. And then glory to God and amen. And we'll fall flat on our face and we'll worship the Lord God Almighty for the rest of eternity. What a blessing that'll be. We're going to see people we haven't seen in a long time. Loved ones, friends, people that you led to the Lord, maybe people that you gave a tract to may run up to you and hug you and thank you for that gospel tract. I think we're going to see a lot of that when we get to heaven. I really do. I think those gospel tracts are being passed out all over the world. They're not being passed out for naught. God uses His Word. Remember, His Word will never return void. It's always going to be used for something for His honor, for His glory. Keep passing out gospel tracts. Keep inviting people to church. Just heard a girl that was here Friday night, just got saved yesterday. Is she here today? She here today?
She couldn't make it today
because she got a really bad stomach ache. Okay. All right. Probably what you fed her yesterday, right? No. Jim cooked something. I know he did. But, you know, people are still getting saved. And when you invite somebody to church, you just never know that seed has been planted. And God will always water that seed. We'll water it. God will bring the increase. We don't have to worry about bringing the increase. God will do that. My grandparents, I haven't seen in many, many, many years, we'll see when we get to heaven. My mother and father, other relatives that have passed on that were saved, we're going to be able to see them. Our friends, our acquaintances, maybe a neighbor that you led to the Lord, or maybe a neighbor that you gave a gospel tract to. I think when we get to heaven, folks, it's going to be a big surprise. Of course, just to get to heaven is going to be a big surprise. What a privilege. What an honor. Much people in heaven. Not a small amount, but much. Also, figure this out. You know there's going to be no strangers in heaven? Now, you can walk down the road or go to a shopping mall today or just go into Walmart. Sometimes we go into Walmart, I see nobody that I know. Other times I walk into Walmart, I got 10 people coming up to me. Hey, how you doing? You know, and it's like reunion time, or it's another, hey, we could have a church service right here, you know. But there's other times we go in there and we see nobody. Or Tops or one of these other stores that you go into, you don't know anybody there. But when we get to heaven, there's going to be no strangers in heaven. We're going to know one another by our names. Now, there's a lot of discussion on that. I don't know what our name's going to be in heaven. I don't know if it's going to be a Bible name. I don't know if it's going to be a Jewish name. I don't know. I just know my name today is Terry. Terry. So I don't know if people are going to come up and say, hey, Terry. Or they'll come up and use my middle name. Hey, James. Or, hey, Fenton, what are you doing here? I don't know what we're going to say to one, but we're not going to be strangers in heaven when we get there. We're going to know everybody. We're going to know everybody. We're going to know who Moses is. We're going to know all of the people of the Bible. We're going to know them by their names. And God's going to do a great introduction when we get there. No strangers in heaven. But why are they yelling or shouting or saying hallelujah? Look why they're saying this. This is the hallelujah of rejoicing. This is the first hallelujah. We got three more to go through, but I want to get through to these through these somehow today. If not this morning, it'll be tonight. Here's what they're saying. They're saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. This is that hallelujah of rejoicing. Salvation. Do you know, you think you know everything about salvation and you don't know half of it. Listen to me carefully. I know I'm saved here. But don't ask me for all the little particular things that I know. Jesus died for me. I trusted him as my Lord and Savior. I've asked him to save me and he saved my soul. That's pretty much about what I know when it comes to salvation. I don't know everything that God knows about salvation, and neither do you. We come to God by faith. We talked about that in Sunday school. What is real faith? Belief is faith, is believing something and putting it into action. That's what faith is. And I know that Christ is my Lord and Savior, and I know that he died for me, and I know he shed his blood for me, but beyond that, it's like, okay, I don't know the half of it. But when I get to heaven, I'm going to have a total understanding of salvation like I've never known before, and so will you. We'll see this. We think that we completely understand all the things about salvation, but we really don't know the half of it. Then the second one is glory there. Never have we really seen the Shekinah glory of God. The Israelites got a glimpse of it in the Old Testament, right? When the Shekinah glory came down. But really, the only person that could see and experience the Shekinah glory of God was the high priest of that year, when he would meet God within the Holy of Holies. Now, the Israelites could see the fire coming down and could see some kind of light coming down. That was as close as they could get to the Shekinah glory of God. Moses was the only one allowed to actually see God. And God says, get over there in the cleft of the rock and I'm going to walk by you. And when I say, look, you can look, but you're only going to see my backside. Moses never got a glimpse of the front side of God. When we get to heaven, guess what I think we're going to be able to see? The front side and the backside. The whole Shekinah glory of God. When they say glory, that is the glory of the Lord. That is the glory of God. And only God emulates real, true glory. Heaven will be filled with the Shekinah glory of God. What's going to light up heaven? The sun and the moon is not needed. It's the light of God. That's His Shekinah glory. And the whole, all of heaven is going to be lit up. Sometimes I get a weird, do you ever get weird things in your head? Just ask Kathy about her dreams. That is weird. I'm telling you, she had a weird dream last night. I said, where in the world did that come from? You shared that with me. She said, what were you doing at a bar last night? With the Atlas Communications Company. I said, what in the world are you talking about? I was meeting somebody at a bar with the Atlas Communications. She said, who are they? I said, I don't know anybody. Or what were you doing? I don't know. Were you there? Yeah, I was there, but we had no idea. She's going on and on and on about this dream this morning. Her dreams are incredible. I said, you ought to write these things down. They would make somebody laugh sometimes. You forgot about that? Well, I'll fill you in later about your dream. How's that? Good night. The thing she comes up with sometimes. But what was that all about? That has nothing to do with the Shekinah glory of God. I don't know where that came from. Anyway, let's go on. We've got the glory of God. Oh, yeah, my weird thoughts. Sometimes when I think about heaven, I think of darkness way off in the distance. But I don't think there'll be any darkness way off in the distance. I think it's going to be light for all eternity. I think as far as you look, it's going to be lit up with God's Shekinah glory. And the gold street and the crystal city is just going to be, it's going to be amazing. Just all you got to do is read about it in the last couple, three chapters of the book of Revelation. But then we see his honor. This is the God of honor. Nobody deserves honor but God. And he is the one that brings, that's what they're yelling, hallelujah or hallelujah. Salvation and glory and honor. And so this honor that God has, the miracle worker, the true faithfulness of Jesus Christ, his mercy, his grace, his love, will then be known as we have never known it before. It's his honor. And only by his honor will I be there and you'll be there. by His honor. I don't deserve it, and you don't either. You know that, right? You know that? Well, if you don't know it, you know it now. I'm telling you, you don't deserve heaven. You don't deserve to be saved. You deserve hell, and that's what I deserve throughout all eternity. It's only by His salvation, His glory, His honor that we're going to have anything other than that. And then His power. They're saying hallelujah because of His salvation, His glory, His honor, and His power unto the Lord our God. The power, eternal life, the power of eternal life, the power of the spoken word. We talked about that this morning in Sunday school. The spoken word, the word of God goes out of the Lord as a sharp two-edged sword. When we've been reading, we just finished the book of Revelation in our daily Bible reading, and so many times the Bible talks about this sharp sword that proceeds out of His mouth that He's nailing everybody with. And I'm thinking, what is that? Lord, is that Your word? Is that the word of God that You're literally taking countless people down with? Could be. Because by His word, we're going to be judged. And by what amazes me in the book of Revelation is when you read about the people, when the judgments are being poured out, when the seals and the trumpets and the vials are being poured out upon the world, people are still blaspheming the name of God, shaking their fist and blaspheming God, instead of turning to Him in repentance and trusting Jesus Christ to save their soul. They have that opportunity, and yet they still shake their fist at God. I think the Lord's going to use His word to bring that back to their remembrance when He is smiting the nations and He's smiting the people at the end of the tribulation period that just refuse to accept Him as Lord and Savior. That's the power of the Word of God. Let me ask you a question. What changed you from what you used to be to what you are now? What changed you? It was the power of God. And it was through the Word of God that changed you, through the Spirit of God. Power of God working through you, through the Holy Spirit and through the Word of God is what changes anybody. You know you can't change yourself. It's impossible for you to change yourself, and you can't change somebody else. Amen. Have this thought, and I tell everybody I counsel with, every couple I counsel with before they get married, guess what? You can't change her and you can't change him. Oh, no? No, you can't. I hope you're not getting married thinking that you're going to change him. Or change her, because it will never, ever, ever work. You can't change another human being. Amen. You can try to force your will or force your way on somebody, but it doesn't work that way. Only God can make the change. Only God can change anybody. If you have a husband that you wish was different, then pray to God to change that man. Guys, if you have a wife that you wish she was different, then pray to God that God would change and work and move and change her or change him. If you've got a child or if you've got a parent or if you've got a relative or a neighbor or somebody, then ask God to do the changing. You can't do it. You will not do it and you cannot do it. Stop trying because it's going to do you no good. Well, that's the first hallelujah. We got three more to go through. The second one is found in verses 2 and 3, and that's the hallelujah of judgment. Heaven is just shouting out hallelujah, hallelujah. For true and righteous are His judgments. For He hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of His servants at her hand. And again they said, hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. That's the hallelujah of judgment. Judgment was poured out, or has been poured out upon the earth, poured out upon the great whore, the one world religious system. Whatever that may be, we have our thoughts, we have our ideas on that, but the annals of heaven are just crying out hallelujah because all of the false teachings have been destroyed and removed from the earth. I don't know how many different religions there are today, but everybody's got a religion out there somewhere. Everybody's following something or somebody. Hallelujah of judgment. Third hallelujah is verses 4 and 5. That's the hallelujah of God's throne. The 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, amen, hallelujah. I don't know how long we're going to do this for, but I think when we get to heaven, the first thing, some people say, oh, I want to run up and hug my mother. No, you're not going to run up and hug your mother. I just want to go over and shake my dad's hand. No, you're not going to go over and shake your dad's hand. I think the first thing you're going to do is you're going to fall down in front of Jesus Christ and worship Him for a few thousand years before you get up and say anything to anybody else. I don't know how that all works out. We don't know that. But I do know this. We're going to be worshiping the throne of God. And we're going to be there in front of that throne just saying, hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. That's what they were doing there in heaven. Verse 5, and a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. That's the hallelujah of God's throne. And then the last hallelujah, the fourth hallelujah, is found in verse 6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and of the, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of many thunderings. Guess what? That's those much people in verse 1. Saying what? What do they say? Hallelujah! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Omnipotent means all powerful. When we get to heaven, we're going to recognize the power of God like we've never seen it before. We know a little bit about the power of God now, today. We know a little bit about that when we see nature. We know a little bit about that when we think of ourselves, how God has come in and with his power. He's changed us. He's saved our souls. He's forgiven us of our sins. He's put us on a different path. He's given us different thoughts and different motives in life. We see a little bit about the power of God. We might go to Niagara Falls and look at those falls and see the power of God. We might see the wildfires out west or a hurricane or a typhoon or whatever, and we might think about the power of God. But that really is just nature's power. When we get to heaven, we're going to actually realize the great omnipotent God, the all-powerful God. And we're going to realize that only by His power are we there. By His power, we're going to be able to stand in front of the almighty, omnipotent God, the creator of the universe, and we're going to be able to worship Him and spend eternity with Him. Wow. Boy, that's good. I like that. What a blessing. Four hallelujahs. Point number two. Point number one is hallelujah. The second H word is honor. Honor. Write that down if you want to write it down. Honor. In verses 7 through 10, look what it says. It says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed. This is the wife of Christ. This is the bride of Christ. We make up the bride of Christ, the born-again children of God. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, right, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Honor. What is the honor? Well, the first honor we see is the honor given to Christ. Jesus Christ. It says in verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him. So honor belongs to God. Does it not? Honor belongs to Jesus Christ. Why? He's God Almighty. Jesus Christ is God Almighty. Always has been, always is, and will always be God Almighty. Jesus Christ. Honor belongs to Him and to Him only. That's where honor belongs. But let me say this. It's an honor to belong to Jesus Christ. It's an honor to be part of the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's an honor to be part of the bride of Christ. We make up, born-again children of God right now make up the bride of Christ. We talk about the bride of Christ, or we talk about the church. This is the church age. Until the rapture, we make up the bride of Christ. When the rapture occurs, we go to heaven. The next thing after the rapture is the judgment seat of Christ, where all of us have to have all those spots and wrinkles, Ephesians chapter 5, removed in order for us to be the wife that Ephesians 5 really talks about and be married to Jesus Christ. He's the groom. We are the bride. But we got a lot of spots and wrinkles. We got a lot of dirt that's got to be cleaned up. And that judgment seat of Christ, that's what's going to take care of that. When we stand in front of Jesus Christ Almighty, not the great white throne judgment of the lost, but when He sits on that throne and we walk up to Him and we present ourselves to Him, and listen, every Christian will do that. I will present myself to Jesus Christ and I will answer for me, myself. And I believe that pastors will answer for their churches. and will answer for the people in the church. I can't control you. I can't make you do anything. We're not dictators. We're supposed to be shepherds. We're supposed to lead, and you're supposed to follow. And if you choose not to follow, you'll answer for that, answer to God for that when you're at the judgment seat of Christ. My job is to do the leading, and your job is to do the following. But I only lead as the Lord leads me. He's the great shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. He is the shepherd. I'm just a little nobody shepherd down here trying to follow Jesus Christ. But it's an honor to be part of the wife of Jesus Christ. It's an honor to be part of the family of God. You ever think about just being part of the family of God? Do you ever think about the inheritance you've received already and you're not even there yet? The Bible talks about that in Romans chapter 8, the great inheritance that we're going to receive, that because we are as Jesus Christ is, and we're going to receive the same inheritance that Christ has. Part of the family of God. Wow, I've been adopted out of the family of the devil, and I've been adopted into the family of God, and now I'm one of His children. So if you're saved, that's you are too. What an honor to be forgiven of all our sins. Have all of our sins washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ. What an honor that is. What an honor to have a place, a home in heaven with Jesus Christ. Does the Bible teach that we're going to have a home in heaven when we get there? Yes. We're going to have a place that we're going to have? Yes. We're going to have a place there in heaven where we will be part of that eternal place for all eternity. Heaven is going to be our home. What an honor to have heaven as our home. I'm glad I'm going to miss out on hell. Anybody else glad about that? Amen. If you've repented of your sins, if you've turned to Jesus Christ, if you're saved, you're going to miss out on hell. And you're going to enjoy the pleasures and the wonders of heaven. All honor goes to God for what He has done for us and through us. The next H word that I find in this chapter is the horse. The horse. Chapter 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Have you figured out who that rider on the white horse is yet? Shouldn't have any problem identifying him. Amen? Who is he? Jesus Christ. The white horse coming out of heaven. The Bible says, heaven opened. The last time we saw heaven open was in chapter 4, verse 1, when the church went up. When John was caught up in chapter 4, verse 1. And I believe that is a picture of the rapture before the tribulation period. Because you don't see anything about the church after chapter 3 until this chapter in chapter 19. We see nothing that has to do with the church age. That's why I believe in a pre-tribulational rapture. So the last time the heaven opened up, there was a door that opened in heaven, was when John went up, was a picture of the rapture. Now we see heaven open and somebody's coming back. Well, who's that? Jesus Christ. He's riding on a what? A horse. Now, why would he come back riding on a horse? Why doesn't he jump in a Cadillac? Why doesn't he jump in a Rolls Royce? Could he afford a Rolls Royce? Jesus? Couldn't he afford the most expensive car in the entire universe? Couldn't he come riding back on something like that? Well, he could, I guess, but he is coming back on a horse. Are you waiting for the reason, a horse? I don't know why. I'm trying to figure that out still myself. Lord, why the horse? Well, if any king had a horse, it showed his immense kingship. It showed that he was in charge. He was in charge. He was the king of his domain. Boy, he had a horse. Everybody else would ride on mules, or sometimes others would ride on horses. But it shows that he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In chapter 6 of Revelation, chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, we see somebody else riding on a white horse. But he's a whole different character. Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. The only thing is this one is not Jesus Christ. This one is the Antichrist. He has a bow with no arrows. He comes as a man of peace. And he comes right at the beginning of the tribulation period to establish a peace treaty with Israel. He comes to start that peace, and he thinks the whole world is going to recognize him, and they do when he comes and offers peace to the entire world and to the Jewish nation. When he comes to do that, literally the entire world is going to start following him. It's interesting, it says he has a crown. Shows that he's in charge, that he has some kind of leadership ability, this Antichrist. But when we see over in Revelation chapter 19, when Jesus Christ comes out, he doesn't just have a crown. The Bible says in verse 12 of chapter 19, his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were what? Many crowns. I think those are the crowns that we've already given back to Christ at the judgment seat of Christ when we gave our crowns back, those crowns that we earn for whatever rewards that we're going to receive when we get to heaven. And I think we're all going to get at least one crown when we get to heaven. But I believe that we're going to take those crowns off from our heads and we're going to give them back to the Lord. And I don't know if every crown is going to be on his head. That'd be quite a few crowns to wear on a head. But it does say many crowns were on his head. Not one crown like the Antichrist had, but many crowns. This is a whole different person. This person is Jesus Christ. This is the description that only belongs to him. Remember the first time he came into Jerusalem, he was riding on a what? A donkey. Now he's riding on a white stallion, a white horse. No longer on a humble donkey, but riding on a white horse. This time we see that his eyes were as a flame of fire. The last time he was looking, overlooking Jerusalem, his eyes were filled with tears. And he was crying over this place. He's not crying anymore, is he? His eyes were as a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns. First time he came to this earth, he had a crown of thorns placed on his head just before he was crucified. No more crown of thorns, folks. It's a different crown. This is a crown or the crowns that are given to him at the judgment seat of Christ. Instead of being stripped by his enemies, he wears a garment dipped in blood, signifying judgment and victory. When that garment was dipped in blood, it always showed judgment had taken place, but victory had been won. And he was wearing this garment. When on earth, he was completely abandoned by everybody. Practically everybody abandoned him when he was here. But now, the next thing we see, and I don't have time to get into it today, but the next thing we see is now the armies of heaven are following him. What are those armies? It says in verse 14, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. Lord, is there only white horses in heaven? Is there any, what are some of the breeds of horses that you horse people know? What are some breeds? Victoria, what are some of the breeds of horses that have different colors in them? And what? Did you say a pink horse? Oh, they're called paint? Painted horses? Are they Appalachian? Palominos? Appaloosos? Arabian? They're all different kind of horses. The only thing I see coming out of heaven is a white horse. What do you call a white horse? What do you call a white horse? A what? What's a white horse called? I call it a white horse. I don't know what else to call it. What'd you say it might be? Okay. Well, all I know, it's a white horse. I don't know what breed of horse it is. I don't know if it's a little horse, a big horse. I think it's a big horse. I think Christ is riding on a big horse. And we're coming along on smaller horses. That's just my own visualization of my craziness in my brain that works. My brain sometimes doesn't work the same as everybody else's, But tonight we're going to talk about who are these armies. Why is the word army? Why is the word army there, armies? I got an answer for that tonight. biblically, scripturally. But it says the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, clean and white. We're going to talk, or white and clean, we're going to talk about who these armies are. Who's riding on the other white horses? Because point number four is horses. Point number three was horse. That was Christ. Point number four, the message is horses, plural. We're going to talk about that tonight, and then I'll give you number five is harvest. And number six is hot. What was the harvest and what is hot in Revelation 19? We'll talk about those tonight. Hey, I got through half of it today anyway. Praise the Lord, we'll do the other half tonight. Unless the Lord comes, then we'll really experience this whole thing. That'd be good. I'd much rather experience the real illustration of what actually is there and not something that isn't. Something from a deluded preacher's mind that tries to figure out all this stuff. But you're with me, right? We all got the same thing. We think differently. Father, thank you for the message. Thank you, Lord, for what we've seen today. Lord, we've only looked at half of it. But Lord, you're so good. And Lord, when we get to heaven,